Good morning. Today is a Tuesday, the 18th of April. Joining us this morning, we're going to try something a little bit different. Jana Valakovic is with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
We may be joined during the program.
That's right.
Isn't that kind of like a cool way to say it? I just have to get used to this thing called headphones during a weekday. Oh, are you ready for Why Do We Say Something?
Oh, sure.
All right. Let's see if we can find something halfway short. I don't feel like reading an awful lot. Backseat driver.
Why do we say backseat driver? Oh, it's such a lovely expression, which is related to the person in the backseat giving unsolicited advice, right?
Okay. Barney Oldfield's Ford held only one driver. Single seats of some early cars held two or three people. Rear seats weren't added until the auto age was beyond its infancy. A back seat held additional riders, but those found it difficult to talk to the driver. In 1912, things began to change. The four-cylinder Essex coach was offered with a box-like body that was comfortably enclosed. Other makers soon copied the idea. Passengers immediately took advantage of their chance to be heard, calling for action or telling the person at the wheel where to turn or where to stop. The backseat driver caused his name to label anybody who volunteers advice to someone who was in charge.
Right. Now the question is, can we make them go away, those backseat drivers?
That's where the term ejector seat came from.
Oh, right.
Oh, boy. So it appears as if we have been joined.
I hope so.
What are you doing there, Winston?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're doing a little tech stuff here. I thought I'd bring along one of my new colleagues, since that's been my regular MO these days.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it works.
Expand the staff.
I can hear you guys. I don't know if I'm live.
Yeah, you're live.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, you say it's great. We'll make that determination in just a little bit. Good morning, Alec.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are here. Where are you? What exotic location this morning do you occupy?
Oh, I'm in beautiful Crescent City. Couldn't be anywhere better.
Boy, don't hear that phrase often.
Oh, stop.
Okay, fine.
Well, it's one of the most beautiful settings ever.
Next to Humboldt County.
Right, right, of course.
Literally and figuratively, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So
anyway, I thought I'd bring along my new colleague, Alec Domka, who is our economic development advisor. And you may recall, listeners may recall, several months ago, it was his first day, and I said, hey, why don't you join me on the radio? And he said, okay, cool.
And now he's smarter, so he's not here.
And so now it's been a few months, and, you know, his job includes Del Norte County and Humboldt County, as well as Trinity County, and he's got a few months on the docket now, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to check in, see how he's doing, and see some of the cool things that he's been involved in.
One of the questions, Alec, I think a lot of us have, particularly if we're Humboldt County-centric, is the housing challenges that we have here, whether it's with some of the permitting processes or the value of land or the demand in the marketplace. Is that also the case in Del Norte County?
Absolutely. Housing, I've been on the job about 6 months, 6 months to the day. Was the last time I was on the radio, so exactly 6 months. I've been doing a lot of needs assessments, and the thing I hear almost always first is housing. Rural Trinity County, Crescent City, unincorporated Del Norte, Arcata, unincorporated Humboldt, everywhere is a lack of housing. You know, employers can't get workers because they can't find housing. Workers can't find housing. No one can find housing.
Yeah, so it's intriguing to me that we're in this situation and there's this pent-up demand, but we can't find the workers, have a tough time getting the resources, et cetera, et cetera. Do you see that there's any simple solution? I mean, certainly Del Norte County can pull out of the Medford market where there's at least wood being milled. a lot easier and a lot less expensive than what Humboldt County can. Are we all in the same boat on this one?
Yes, we're all definitely in the same boat, and I wish there was an easy solution, but there's plenty of other smarter people than me working on this, and if there was an easy solution, they would have found it by now. We're in a real rural spot, so if you can't get the labor to build the houses, you can't build them, and you can't get the labor because you can't house them. It's kind of a catch-22, and there's a lot that goes into the housing unavailability, so it'll be a while to untangle it, but definitely a top priority.
Well, and this issue is not unique to Humboldt and Del Norte counties. I mean, it's a issue all across California, and it remains one of the governor's top priorities to try and figure out how do we actually build an affordable housing base.
But yet, at the same time, he's adding all these surcharges on.
Sure. I'm not.
An interesting dichotomy. That's all.
Right. I'm not justifying his policies, but I think that the frame of really of the conversation and how do we crack that nut, So you'll hear the RENA statement, which I can't remember exactly what RENA stands for, but it's basically an allotment that every city and county is mandated to make sure that they're providing the pathway for developing housing, right?
Yeah, in the old days, we called it a quota.
Fair enough. But, how is it that, we address that catch-22, both the qualified workforce to be able to build those houses, to be able to permit those houses, to be able to plan those houses. And, we can't grow without the capacity to put, living wage workers in buildings that are satisfactory to them.
But doesn't it also, and Alex, certainly you're more familiar with the Del Norte governmental structures than most of us are, there has to be a willingness and, getting rid of some of the impediments that are in the way that are manageable.
Sure. I mean, my sense of the Del Norte Board of Supervisors and Crescent City Council is they're working super hard at this issue and trying to...
I think they're ahead of Humboldt County.
Perhaps.
In a lot of ways. I mean, maybe because of the size.
Maybe. Shared values, shared interests, and, shared recognition of vulnerability.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Yana Malkovic and Alec Domka. Alec, what you are experiencing in Del Norte County now, do you see the opportunity for a lot of, templates to be developed because the community is recognizing certain things and there is the flexibility and there is space and there is willingness, that there are some opportunities there that can then be replicated throughout the state?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a perfect learning lab to really kind of make some innovative new strategies for economic development for all of California. With a lot of the work we're doing, that's kind of always an eye we have is, make it first relevant and most impactful to Del Norte, but always kind of keep an eye to how can we spread this to any rural community in California that might be interested in harnessing wind power or arts tourism. Kind of the stuff we're working on here, we're making sure that we can push it out to ag extension agents all over the state if it's something the local community would be interested in.
And you may recall, Brian, that when we hired Alec, we hired him as a part of a whole team. And so there's about, I think, 10 folks statewide that are focused on community economic development within the extension system. So Alec is at the front end of those new hires. And the idea is really that they work as a network to be able to amplify shared strategies, resources. And, you know, I find a lot of what I do in my job is really connect communities to each other because, you know, the solution that has been piloted one location may be entirely relevant somewhere else. And so being able to get inspired or watch out for the pitfalls that one community's faced, you know, being able to learn from others is just a tremendous way to see what's possible. You know,
typically those are called conventions.
Well,
but
sure.
But then the networking.
But we have the network that we can span out among the counties and be able to use those resources and go both up and down, you know, bring ideas from the communities up and then bring ideas from the other team back down to the communities.
Are they all in smaller, less populated counties, or are there some in the metropolitan areas also that have just a totally different reference point?
Alec, maybe you can answer that question of the team that's on board so far?
Yeah, we have rural and urban academic advisors. Most of the community economic development team is in rural communities, but we have some mostly focusing on food access and sustainable food systems that are in more urban communities like Sacramento or LA.
So is this team of 10, are you all part of the same team, or is it like you're playing, I'm going to be using baseball analogy, are you all in the same league, but everybody kind of has their focus in their local situation?
I kind of think all of A&R would be a baseball team. We're all kind of, we're all going to the same goal of improving California together. And then the community economic development advisors might be, the third baseman. So we all train the same way. We all do similar jobs. We all have kind of a different way of doing it. Some focus more on wood products because that's what their local community needs. But I would consider us kind of more of a cohort of position players. We all work pretty similarly together.
And there's enough transferable knowledge and experiences that everybody on the team wins.
Yeah, that's always the goal.
So it's, as you look at the agricultural space or the land space that is available in Del Norte County and overlay that with the general plan, and I presume that there are housing elements in effect as well, where are the opportunities for this housing to allow Del Norte to be able to get kind of the underpinnings and the foundational cornerstones in place to allow for the economic growth to occur?
Yep, that's an interesting question. Exactly where, I'm not sure, and that's what a lot of people at the city are working on. There's been, because we're on the coast and you guys have it down in Humboldt too, we have all the Coastal Commission regulations, which complicate things. We've had an attempt at an entire neighborhood, which hasn't come to fruition. But we're also a county that's largely public lands, so that complicates it. But there are a few pockets on the outskirts of Crescent City, up by Smith River. There's still some very beautiful land that housing can be developed on. We just kind of have to tread carefully with Coastal Commission rules and things like that.
All the normal California stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it might be interesting to explore a little bit about what Alec has jumped into since he's been here, because, you know, he's getting a crash course in all things of interest. But, you know, Alec, I don't know how we're doing on time here, but maybe after the break we could pick up with the idea around some of the projects that you are getting involved in, just to illustrate some of what his position is capable of helping.
Well, and how quick you can get in the swamp, huh?
Sure.
And sink in. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Alec Domka, who's weighing in from Crescent City, and Jana Velikovic, who is like within arm's reach.
I'm in the studio.
Yes. So someone is safely distant and someone's very vulnerable and doesn't realize it.
Vulnerable to what?
Yeah, we got mics. Who knows? So before the break, Jana, you were asking Alec to kind of bring everybody up to speed with what the current list of activities that he's dealing with and projects.
Yeah, or observations about some of the general trends. I mean,
you're on, Alec.
Perfect. So what I've really been jumping into most has kind of been up here in Del Norte. It's been a lot of working on arts tourism, which is kind of a really interesting space. It's kind of an inversion of how people see rural America as not cultured, not really advanced in the arts. So it's kind of interesting to turn that on its head and to show people, the beautiful creativity and culture of so many generations that we have in Crescent City.
So when you say artist, there's such a wide, broad spectrum. You know, everything from woodworkers to all kinds of other options that are out there. I think some people even will put culinary art in that art continuum. So what areas are you recognizing that are standing out?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Del Norte, we really do run the gamut. So on one end, we have hundreds of pieces that were donated to the city by a Ukrainian artist who has lived in Crescent City for many years. So been working with city economic development experts to kind of promote that and make it into a viable event that's going to be happening soon. So that's going to be shown all the way to most of what I've been working on has been with the Partnership for the Performing Arts. They're in the capital campaign phases of building a 1,000-seat theater for the high school that will also be open to the public for large public concerts. So, Del Norte's really looking at anywhere from, the classic kind of painting and sculpting art all the way to concerts and, really running a gamut of the creative activities that the community is doing and then kind of looking at ways that art can benefit the community to, bring culture here, to show off its culture and ways that it can kind of leverage that with visitors to not just bring in, to bring in dollars along with the just benefits to the community of having art and those kind of cultural experiences here.
Is that easy to quantify?
You mean the value of what that kind of generation might attract? I think it's one of the questions that Alec and our colleagues have been noodling around with and trying to get some monetary value on it. Alec, do you have some thought about how to reflect that question?
Yeah, absolutely. So my colleague Keith Taylor at UC Davis and I are working on trying to figure the economic impact of their theater out. So a lot of what we're looking at is really not that hard to quantify. Tourism spending. How many people are you expecting to bring in? What's their ripple effect? What arts organizations have found is the normal theater or show goer will spend $35, $36 in the community beyond the ticket sale. So that's, they're going to support restaurants, they're going to support, art studios, they're going to support hotels, things like that. So that's a little easier to quantify. And then we're also, you know, looking at trying to put a dollar amount on the value that's gained from, gains in human capital, from students learning art skills, learning how to speak in public, learning how to be on stage, learning tech theater skills.
Is there a dollar? Is there a dollar sign associated with that, or is it a level of comfort that will be measured?
If there's one thing you need to know about economists, they will try to put a dollar figure on everything. So there are some more or less convoluted ways to try to calculate that. But a lot of what we're focusing on is just trying to, to show and illustrate those benefits, maybe not exactly put a dollar figure on them when the model to find it becomes overly complicated. We're just trying to show why that benefit exists and how it comes about.
You know, I think it's worth talking a little bit about the Rails, Mr. and Mrs. Rails. They're the folks that have started this partnership for performing arts. And Mr. Rail was a high school student in Del Norte County in Crescent City a number of years ago. And he's entered into the philanthropic space and really regrets and wishes he had a better place when he was growing up to be able to perform and be able to hear his music and be able to hear the music of his fellow students. And so he's come back as a donor to try and really stimulate the development of this facility, not only for the high school, but for the community. And so there's a whole group that has come together to champion that idea. And even Senator McGuire has brought in some dollars from the state to be able to be part of the feasibility analysis and the kind of build out planning phase. And I think it's exciting to see how, someone comes in with some cash and a bright idea and how the community is really pulling together and trying to think about, well, what do they want to look like in the future? And what does... what is the infrastructure that the community needs to be able to be vibrant and to both foster the development of their youth, but also bring in culturally new ideas and new resources and
fun infrastructure?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm intrigued by the idea as a Humboldt County resident to be able to go to Crescent City for the night and see a great show and spend the night, maybe spend the weekend enjoying the ocean, enjoying the redwoods, enjoying the river, and, make something of it. It's maybe like the Applegate. There's a great music festival in the Applegate or facility
the
there.
Illinois. Yeah.
Right. And, near Ashland and, the idea of going someplace for a destination to have an experience. And so I think some of the economic development strategy is really around trying to figure out how you market those experiences for different types of tourism and different types of users. And, we're close coming from Humboldt to be able to imagine that. But there is a lot more tourism than you might imagine in Crescent City and in Greater Del Norte and in Brookings. And
it's there. But are they staying there?
They are staying
there. Or
are they
just coming through?
No, yeah. They are staying there. I think there's a whole pattern of traffic that comes down the Oregon coast and then hits Crescent City and then goes back to Interstate 5.
Loops back up on 199.
And so we don't see those. And then we're kind of, we get some of the Bay Area traffic, but we kind of sit in between. And Alec, do you remember, I think it's the County of Del Norte in partnership with the Chamber has commissioned a tourism assessment study. The results just came in. And I haven't had a chance to open them and look at them. But using cell phone data, you can see how long people stay in certain locations.
You mean you can track people on their cell phones?
Yeah, imagine that. But within that, it's kind of interesting to see, where their destinations are, the amount of time they spend in locations, and trying to think about, how might you develop like a passport to activities. So here's an itinerary. If you're a family with two kids under 10, what might be the types of things?
Here's your four choices.
Yes, here's what might make sense. And, you're a recreationalist and, you're an outdoor enthusiast. Here's what that looks like. Or, you're a foodie and you want to go have, the latest best of this
fish
or that.
Fish and chips.
Or whatever it is, right? Or
no, not whatever. Fish and chips.
But there's some fine restaurants in Crescent City as well. So, trying to tailor that, match what you would experience in Humboldt County, match what you experience in Curry County and Brookings area, and, be able to link those together.
K KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Alec Domka and Jana Valakovic. Folks, as you look at economic development, part of it is driven by the locals. Part of it is regulations and the regulators either helping or, I'll say, hindering. And then there's the developer demand also. Of those three, which are the ones that are most likely to result in a positive outcome, development or economic growth?
That's well out of my wheelhouse, Alec. That's on you, baby.
Most likely, I don't think anything can get done without all three of them really working together. I mean, we've kind of seen in Del Norte, what has happened when, maybe a developer pushes really hard and doesn't have a ton of support from regulators or local government, and now we have a neighborhood that has, you can see the streets on Google Maps, but there's no houses there. I don't think there's a whole lot of value in figuring out which one is more important, because if they don't all three work as a unit, but just get dead ends. And
I would think that one of those has got to be the point of the arrow, so to speak. I mean, there's that development that's by Rowdy Creek. The roads were there for a couple of years, and there was one or two houses, and now it's gotten its momentum. And they're building out.
Sure.
You needed to have the developer there, but you also had to have the government and the county to allow that to be there, and then the marketplace as well. You know, it's just an interesting trio.
Sure. And it's helpful if government is there to help take away some of the risk and part of that is sort of the unknowing in the permitting process. Right. So if you can have it much more predictable and make sure that the developer is not leveraging for an extended period of time beyond what the anticipated timelines are, that's when everything works so much better. And then you need to have the future demand for that housing stock or whatever the development is.
Or recognize the demand that's already there.
But, I think you can reflect that on what's happening in Humboldt County right now, where we suddenly need a whole lot more housing for the variety of different businesses that we perceive are either growing or coming to our community. So growing would be Cal Poly Humboldt.
I was trying to use him as a laboratory for here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for just blowing that cover up.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to ruin your question there. But I think we have a chance. You get these... these pulse events, and the question is, are you ready for them?
I would suspect most communities aren't.
Well, it's hard to predict the future.
Unless it's a backfill into something, something goes out, and then you've got this unmet capacity.
Sure.
And then something comes in and recognizes that opportunity.
Right. So, do you have enough in the pipeline to anticipate that future growth? I mean, the predictions, have been that we would be declining here in the North Coast for a long time. But I think we're seeing something entirely different as a result both of people relocating because of their experiences during COVID and because of the economic development opportunities that are coming on board.
Particularly with the school, I would think, in the fish farm.
The fish farm, wind.
Yeah. Alec, are you sensing that Del Norte County is going to benefit from some of the activities that are in the works in Humboldt?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are we're a region that's very closely tied together. A lot of workers go in between the two regions. Our fates are totally intertwined. So, it's exciting to see a lot of the developments that are going on down there. And, you know, if as you guys are trying to use me as a lab up here, I get to use Humboldt as a wind energy lab to see how wind energy plays out down there before it comes up here. So
perfect. There's like a synergy. Just don't get lost on the highway, okay?
Yeah.
All right, bud. Appreciate the time.
All right. Can I give a quick shout out? It's my dad's birthday. He just turned 70. So I love you, Dad. Happy 70th birthday.
I guess you can.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Alec.
Happy birthday,
Thank
Dad.
You.
Bye-bye. See everybody
right,
tomorrow.
Bye.